I'm David Hutton of Ophthalmology Times with another episode of iPod. Today I'm joined by Keith Lane, Vice President and Therapeutics Head at Aura Incorporated, to discuss the changing landscape of gene therapy. Thanks for joining us. Could you provide a brief summary of the current state of gene therapy and its standardized endpoints?
Yeah, David, thanks for having me. I would say that gene therapy in ophthalmology at this point is a tremendously active space. The Spark Luxturna approval from several years ago really seemed to catalyze a major influx of companies into ophthalmology that are really more gene therapy platform companies, not necessarily your traditional ophthalmology company, but they've come to the ophthalmology space to really prove concepts on their technologies. So we've seen just a huge number of new entrants into the space. We've seen a lot of funding gene therapy in the ophthalmology space. And it's really an exciting place to be at this point.
What are some of the challenges gene therapy has faced, particularly in relation to ophthalmology?
So gene therapy is really focused at this point on inherited retinal diseases, as well as essentially reducing the number of IVT injections for more standard retinal diseases like wet AMD and DME. And with respect to the inherited retinal diseases, a major challenge is that the phenotypes of these patients can be quite varied, even with similar mutations. And when you have varied phenotypes, that means you're going to really have problems developing standardized endpoints to test out therapeutic agents. You could say have a patient with LCA10 who sees at 20/50 for best corrected visual acuity, as well as one who has light perception only vision. And to be able to get endpoints that are appropriate for, you know, both levels of functional vision in these patients, that can certainly, you know, be a major challenge. So I think, you know, the tendency for a lot of companies has been to really throw every endpoint they have at these patients during clinical trials and sort of see what sticks. And, you know, some of the time that works and some of the time it doesn't. We at Aura have done a lot of work with standardized mobility testing, which was a concept originally developed by the folks at Spark that has gained a lot of popularity as a functional endpoint over the past several years. But there's still a place for a lot of the standard endpoints, best corrected visual acuity, perimetry, FST, even ERG. I think, you know, the challenge becomes what will FDA accept as an endpoint for an approval, more so than what, you know, what ultimately will give you information about the patient. So there's sort of two pathways, you know, validating endpoints that FDA will accept for approval, finding endpoints that, you know, that fit the population well when you have these populations of patients with varied phenotypes. And, you know, and that's also, I think, coupled by the challenge of the fact that there's not that many patients, you know, available to test. So you've got a lot of challenges associated with developing standardized endpoints in inherited retinal disease studies. And that's, I think, you know, probably the major challenge associated with these trials at this point.
Has the COVID-19 pandemic had any impact on the field?
You know, it's interesting. It's obviously had impact everywhere, but at the same time, this particular field seems to have less impact than some of the other ones that I work in. And, you know, I attribute that to the fact that these are, you know, patients that have inherited blinding diseases, and they're willing to, you know, continue to participate in research because that's really, you know, the only potential that they have to see improvements in their vision. And, you know, certainly COVID-19, there's risk there, but, you know, they'd rather have the shot at a therapy that can restore some vision and take some of that risk associated with the pandemic, and they're willing to, you know, accept it. Now, we do work with, you know, primarily academic universities and academic investigators in these trials. Those are the folks that, you know, have access to these mutation-specific IRD patients, and some of the universities have been impacted, and that's caused problems in some of the trials that we've worked on, but I think we're through the worst of that. Most of that really, you know, showed up with the first wave of the pandemic. At this point, folks are trying to sort of operate through the current increases in COVID-19 infection rates.
How has gene therapy impacted the field of ophthalmology?
Well, I mentioned before, there are a large number of companies entering into the ophthalmology space that are, you know, gene therapy companies more so than ophthalmology companies. But I will add that it's had additional impacts in traditional retinal diseases and the way that we think about treating them. You know, companies like Adverum, 4DMT, Gyroscope, these are companies that are developing gene therapy platform technologies to treat diseases like wet AMD, like DME, like geographic atrophy. And, the goal there is sort of to have gene therapy serve as the next generation treatment option over, standard repeated intravitreal injections. So if you can inject a plasmid that codes for aflibercept or another protein that has a, therapeutic benefit in some of these different disease groups, now you don't need to inject that patient once every 2 months or once every 3 months, whatever it may be. And you've essentially transformed the way, that disease is treated. So, obviously what's going on in the IRD space is tremendous, and the way that we're curing blindness and inherited retinal diseases, but even in the standard, disease areas like wet AMD, we're seeing gene therapy have an impact.
How does gene therapy landscape today compare to where it was, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, it really wasn't there 10 years ago. So certainly we've seen, a huge increase in, popularity, and we've seen, the clinical sites that are participating in these trials really transform from, investigators that were doing nothing but natural history studies 10 years ago to now, functioning as really a component of the drug development process and, conducting studies up to FDA standards when, before it was just academic research. So I think we've, certainly seen a lot of changes in the space over the past 10 years, and, it's still growing. Where I am, I speak, weekly with companies that are gene therapy based companies that haven't even entered the space and are looking to figure out what it is that they need to do to meet with FDA to be able to get into their first in human study. And, we're still seeing a huge amount of interest. The industry interest from, the venture capital groups is still there. They're funding a lot of these earlier stage gene therapy companies. So I think the future is bright.
How can ophthalmologists and ophthalmology educate patients on making informed decisions on treatment options?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And what I would say is that in a somewhat unfortunate way, there aren't really many options for a lot of these patients. So, if you're an individual who was born with an inherited disease that causes blindness, you've essentially been waiting for an opportunity to participate in the trial. And, when those trials come around, most of these patients want to jump right in, because I think another, challenge associated with many of the inherited retinal diseases is they are degenerative. So the longer you have it, the worse your vision tends to get. There's certainly exceptions with different diseases, but, the trend is, if you're really late stage, it's going to be harder to preserve vision or restore vision than if you're somebody that, is earlier on in the pathogenesis of the disease. So many of these patients, they want to get involved right away. And it's not so much, the ophthalmologist really educating the patient on, what their options are, because the options are so limited. So, certainly, the good ophthalmologist is going to explain the potential risks associated with participating in a gene therapy trial. But I would say given the lack of options out there for these patients, there's really not a huge risk benefit analysis at play. Most folks want to give it a try.
And you've kind of alluded to this, but what do you see for the future of gene therapy in relation to ophthalmology?
Yeah. So what I think will happen is there will be new gene therapy based technologies that will enter into the space. So a lot of what we've seen thus far has been, as I mentioned, these sort of plasmid-based technologies where you're producing a protein in like a wet AMD, a DME, a GA, and these mutation-specific corrective gene therapy technologies that are really addressing, a single mutation in a patient with an inherited retinal disease. What might come in the future are larger gene replacement therapy paradigms. And we're starting to see that with a lot of earlier stage companies. If you take, something like Stargardt's, for example, Stargardt's is caused by a huge number of mutations in the ABCA4 gene, and that ultimately leads to varied phenotype, but it also presents a challenge because there's so many mutations that, correcting each individual mutation really isn't an option. But if you had a platform-based technology where you could replace the entire gene, Now you've got something that really could be effective in really addressing that particular inherited retinal disease. So I think that's where I think it's going to go. You're going to see the technologies in the gene therapy space change a little bit, hopefully with the ability to replace, you know, genes rather than correct point mutations.
And lastly, what are you most excited about in gene therapy right now?
So certainly the technologies are very exciting. I would say, so I'll give you a little background. I've had an opportunity to work with a lot of inherited retinal disease patients as we've developed our standard endpoints and as we've run, you know, trials for gene therapy companies. And, you know, being able to work hand in hand with some of these individuals that have, you know, lost their vision, been diagnosed, had a period of time where they were told there is no treatment option, to now being told, you know, there might be something that's out there that could help you. The patients are extremely excited. They're ecstatic. They are happy. And I think that's really what gets me excited when you work with some of these pediatric patients that, you know, now they're just elated that there might actually be something for them. That's really what's, in my opinion, amazing about some of these gene therapy platforms. It's, you know, taking somebody who really had no hope of, you know, being able to see and then giving them that hope. That's, I think, what's exciting in the gene therapy space.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the iPod from Ophthalmology Times. We hope you subscribe at iTunes and let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. Stay connected by going to ophthalmologytimes.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. We'll see you next time.